Gotcha. It's not quite quiet time, but...
No, but it's good. I don't know...
Doesn't seem as kombucha-y.
It's not as bitey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's the mango or the passion, but... I don't put any passion in mine. I probably should start putting some passion in there.
You should.
I make it with passion, but I don't add any passion to it.
Yeah, look. Yeah.
So yeah, I should probably put some passion in there.
But so you like it or you don't like it?
It's sweeter than I'm sweeter, used to. I'm not used to a sweet, so I figure.
Yeah. I feel like that's like the everyman's kombucha.
There you go. It is, I think it's, mango and peach are always pretty similar.
Yeah.
You know, to where I would almost, if I had to guess, I would almost call that a peach. I would say, if I was guessing, I'd say it was peach.
Well.
Because it is that much sweeter.
Well, that and, flavor. Yeah, I guess your association of peaches has been mashed into mango because that's how you make yours, right? Or no?
I don't have peach or.
Oh.
No.
Exactly.
No peach. No peach.
No peach, no mango.
Raspberry ginger.
Raspberry ginger.
But you were close.
I don't know where I got that memory from.
That's okay.
Well, you should try it. Mango and peach, that sounds good.
Yeah, I have tried blueberry. I've tried mixed berry.
Have you?
I've tried lemon, strawberry.
Yeah. Raspberry ginger's your favorite?
Raspberry ginger's.
Yeah, I imagine ginger makes it a little more bitey too.
Yeah, adds a little more zing, which I like. I'm more about zing than I am about passion, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. No doubt.
I don't know if I'm going to keep that stuff, but we'll see.
Keep what stuff? That stuff?
In the episode.
Oh, okay. Are we recording now?
We are.
Oh, wow. Shifted over and I missed the transition. You're gonna... pretty sly. Sleight of hand there.
That's right.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and...
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
So you're going to bring some zing or some passion to today's topic?
Hey, you know what? I try to bring zing and passion to most topics.
That's good.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Should tell your face. Sorry. You got to pull that.
Was my face confusing you at the moment?
No. Sometimes I feel like that just needs to be pulled out.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the levity.
It was funny because we were talking about that last night, as a matter of fact. We were talking about the fact that typically we can associate anger with people who have red hair.
Yeah.
You follow me? And I think there's something to be said also for crazy bearded people. Because I think depending on a person's beard, you know, it's like you just don't know. You know, when you talk about you need to tell your face, that's what came to mind for me. It's like, you know, those moments when it's like I'll say something and, you know, sometimes the kids in the office, but sometimes it's even out of the office, you know.
Yeah.
There's two extremes because it's like they either look at you like you're some crazy guy.
Yeah.
Or they'll look at you and it's like you can tell it's like, or they'll even say, you know, nice beard. Like, you know, I have teenage kids. This the other day when I was driving through Chick-fil-A, you know, it was a young guy. He says, "That's a nice beard," you know, and it's funny. It just cracks me up. It's a mix, always a mixed. It's always mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to see. But yeah.
I've never had a luscious beard, so I can't say I know.
You'll get different experience. Looks. You'll get different looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get the clean cut crowd looks at you like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Get out of bed. Do some shaving before you go to, you know, shave before you go to work.
That's
for
right.
Crying out loud.
Come on.
That military mindset, you know, kicks up, you know.
Hmm.
And then there's the other end. It's like, yeah, that's cool.
You know?
So, yeah. You get it. You get it.
The other end's like, yeah, he didn't get out of bed and shave. That's
yeah.
That's my kind of man.
That didn't have to. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Styled his hair going down the road and out the window.
There you go.
Yeah. That is.
Is that what you're?
Oh, yeah.
Working there.
Well, I didn't even stick it out the window this morning.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Keep it short enough.
Still looks good.
I try.
Looks about the same as it always does.
Exactly.
Nicely done.
Your hair looks good too, though.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what are we talking about, Mark?
Well.
With your zing and your passion.
We've talked about a lot of things already this morning.
That's right.
But we talked about dirt.
Dirt.
Talked about ponds.
Ponds.
Yeah. And we talked about information.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because in the process of that, how many times a day do you think you'd find yourself in conversation with other people saying, why don't you Google that? How many times in a...
At least once today.
Oh, yeah. And it's already, and it's only 6:30, give or take.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime, there's a question of something that seems reasonable to be found out, you know, or able to be researched, but, you know, that we don't know it. It's like, well, let's Google it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So basically, because I was thinking about that in the context of confusion or decision making, that process, if you have a difficult, can you think of a difficult decision you either are in the process of making or have recently made?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Care to share? If it's too, I'm not asking for a personal thing, but it's like, how do you walk me through that process for you? When it's difficult, I'm not saying about picking out your t-shirt, you know, something more than picking out your t-shirt for the morning.
Usually Google's not very helpful when I
pick out your t-shirt.
Picking out my t-shirts, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just too big of a question. I need more specifics.
Well, I guess what I want you to have in mind, a difficult decision.
Difficult decision, yeah. So, I mean, we are, you know, certainly in the middle of more than one difficult decision, but...
What might a difficult decision topic be?
Changing careers is one. That's not what I'm.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
But yeah, that's. Yeah.
Changing careers.
Yeah.
What about kids, adolescent kids, teenage kids?
Where to send them to where to send them to school?
Where to send them to school? Sure.
Yeah. Or in the case of kids, where to go to college.
Sure.
It's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Buying a house.
Sure.
Picking a house. Or any buying big a vehicle. Purchase, really.
Purchase, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that count? Are those good ones?
Yeah, they're all good ones. And I think that's the thing. So often, you know, we make a number of decisions in the process of a day. And I think, you know, so many of those are made in ways that we don't even necessarily think about.
Yeah.
Like the t-shirt. You grab whichever one's typically I grab whichever one's typically towards the top.
I started grabbing from the bottom.
Do you really?
Yeah, the way it rotates.
Oh, I hear
Otherwise,
you.
Otherwise, I would wear the same ones.
Yeah, you'd only wear fresh t-shirts.
That's right.
This way, you wear the ones that are outdated and get them back in circulation. Yeah, rotating the stock. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because the clean ones go on top, and then they cycle all the way down.
Well, nice job.
Doing that. Yeah, you should try it.
I should.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's really mixed things up in the Sternberg household.
Wow. Man, now you've affected the way I'm going to make my decision.
Okay.
About pulling a t-shirt out of the stack.
You didn't even have to Google it.
Yeah. You know, I just recently transitioned to rolling my t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Does it fit better?
The only problem is that I think it takes a little more time for me to decide what that t-shirt actually is.
It's true.
Because you kind of almost have to unroll it. Because you can pick the color, but.
Yeah,
I probably have too many t-shirts to where it's like I got a lot of that are, you know, a dark gray or a blue, dark blue.
Yep.
And it's like, Is that that t-shirt or that t-shirt? Right, so you pretty much have to unroll it to see. But
well, that's where it goes into roulette mode and you just pick the one.
Yeah.
The next
one. I still pretty much go with the one I pick.
Yeah.
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 But that's how I make it. That's how I make that decision.
I only roll my t-shirts when we're packing. Like,
okay.
You know,
well, I think I think we're downsizing, so I think we're in that kind of packing phase where we're trying to fit as much as we can in as little space as we can.
Okay, all
right. So it's still very, very similar mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
So back to decisions.
Yes, not t-shirts.
Yeah.
Difficult decisions.
Yeah.
So in that process.
Like pants.
In that process.
Actually.
Go ahead.
In terms of wardrobe,
yeah,
for me the hardest decision is shoes.
Yeah, you have a number of shoes.
I have a number of and I'm somewhat of a shoe connoisseur.
Yeah.
No, that's the wrong word. That implies I know stuff. No, I just like shoes.
So you have
I have a good, shoe fetish. Goodly number. Well, that seems dirty.
Okay.
I mean, shoes get dirty, but yeah,
I gotcha.
I don't think quite a fetish would. I don't know.
Okay. I hear where you're coming from.
I enjoy me some shoes.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And choosing which shoes to wear once you picked out what you're going to wear and then figuring out which shoes to wear. That can be a challenge because that's kind of like your beard situation. It's like, do I want to be that guy or do I want to be this guy?
Ah.
Right? Because you got Sperry's, right?
Sure.
Like boat shoes.
Yep.
That's kind of like your
almost
casual, like, St. James tennis player kind of have that vibe, right?
Yeah.
Or you can go with like some Air Force Ones.
Casual.
But it's like basketball and yes, casual. Yes. I understand, Mark. Casual. Casual dressed up. Two categories. Anyway.
No,
a decision, you know.
Sporty casual.
Yes.
Sporty casual versus country club casual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're getting it.
No, I got you.
You can wear some sandals.
Sure.
You know?
Beach casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also different kinds of sandals. There's flip-flops.
No doubt. Crocs. Do you have a Crocs?
There's Crocs. Yeah, I do have some Crocs.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. And then there's the Birkenstocks. You know Birkenstocks?
Yeah.
That's like Birks. That's like when the country casual is going to the beach, you know?
There you go.
They take the Sperry's off and actually no, they wear Sperry. Those are boat shoes, so I don't know. But all right.
So you can't Google that decision.
Yeah, you can't. Well, you probably could. I guarantee you someone's got an opinion, has got a blog on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What shoes to wear if you're going to the country club? What shoes to wear if you're feeling.
So is that how you decide? Do you Google?
No.
No. How do you decide which shoe to wear?
Well, depends on how I'm feeling.
Yeah?
Yeah. Or what I'm...
Where you're going.
Where I'm going, what I'm looking to present.
Do you ever ask Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
So you'll accept influence sometimes on your shoe choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she typically have an opinion?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't always go with it, though, but...
Ah.
Sometimes... If it's, okay, that's what you want, then that means I know that this is what I want. Sometimes, you know, getting someone's opinion, even if it's not yours, can help clarify what you truly feel, right?
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Because you can seem
that
like...
That phenomena of like, oh, they picked the one I don't want, mm-hmm. and then you realize the one you do want.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It helps you make that decision based on the fact that initially you didn't think you had a preference.
It felt neutral until... They
somebody
picked
else.
The wrong one.
Well, maybe you just like defying other people.
Yeah, that's possible as well. That's certainly not out of the equation, Mark. I defy that opinion, though.
Exactly. So I'm going to pick the other shoe.
Mm-hmm.
But fun topic. But at the same time, we can recognize there's a lot of decisions that are more complicated than that.
Yeah.
So in that,
I guess.
Yeah, I know it
you
seems
don't have
hard.
A big enough shoe
it
collection,
seems hard
I guess.
To imagine. I guess I don't. You're right. I probably don't. I'd hate to guess how many shoes. What the ratio of shoes that I have to shoes you have would be. I think it'd probably be about like 1 to 5, maybe 1 to 10.
Maybe.
But either way.
No, but we were talking about cars, and we recently in January purchased a new vehicle.
Sure.
And I mean, that whole decision process is intense. And so knowing that going into it and not being a planned thing, because our other vehicle, you know, it was reached a point where we realized, yeah, we need to replace it soon.
Okay.
Wasn't like a plan. Anyway, it kind of inserted itself into our life.
Sure.
And so I found, we basically picked a vehicle that we knew some people who are really like cars and own one of these. And
sure.
Actually, two brothers own the okay. same vehicle. And we said, let's go with that one. Let's just narrow the search down. Let's not think about other, you know, SUVs in this category.
Okay.
Let's not branch out. Let's just pick one that we know is good and go from there. Because it's already going to be a challenge. You got to, you know, look for all the ones available around you. You
sure.
can decide colors. You got to decide how much you're willing to pay. Year, make, you know, or not make, you know, all the other stuff. So, like, let's narrow at least down to that.
Okay.
And that was very helpful.
Cool.
Although you still get, you know, I still was like pulled to these other models, like, oh, this one's this much. And ultimately, it was just, I didn't have the time to do that. And I didn't have the desire to do that. So I was just like, stop it and put the blinders back on. And wow. We really loved the vehicle and loved the make and model. So that was a good choice.
Sure. Would you consider that more of a sneaker car or a Sperry car or a... When you hop into that, what kind of look do you think you acquire with that? Sophistication or?
Yeah, I feel like we call it Alfred.
Alfred.
Because,
like Batman?
That's right.
Okay.
Because it's like.
It talks to you.
It's like Alfred's Batmobile.
Oh, wow.
It's like Alfred Mobile.
Okay.
It looks classy, like. Hit the butler Alfred's vehicle he would drive.
Okay.
That's
the feel that it gives you. That's
yes,
cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 So you like, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not necessarily associating it with a shoe, but more of an identity of its own.
Well, right.
Yeah. Alfred.
So. Alfred. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
And you know, like Alfred is cool. Like he could get yeah. down if he needed to, you know, like. He's been around Batman long enough. He knows a few moves.
I hear you.
You know, like he could run a little bit if he needed, you know. Depends on which version of Alfred you're thinking of, though, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel. It's like a sporty, sophisticated.
That's fair enough. Yeah. So in that decision, you were able to narrow it down to one model.
Yep.
Based on... what other people had chose.
Also, the nice thing is, though, that model only started being made in, I want to say, 2019 or 2020. So, as far as your choices as well, it was very limited.
Sure. You couldn't go back very far.
Right. It wasn't like, this one's pretty old. And
right.
It's missing all these features, but it's pretty cheap and kind of that.
Sure.
Like, even that, like, you take out that, yeah, variable. That was nice, too.
Yeah.
Carry on. Sorry.
No, it's funny to think about that because as John was looking for a vehicle, you know, for a long time, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, there were times when I said, are you sure you want to buy a truck that's actually older than you are? Because, you know, he'd look yeah. back at late model, you know,
yeah.
stuff. You didn't have that late model option,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind yeah. of thing.
Certainly not one that's older than I am.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that was just fun to think about because I think, cars, you know, there's definitely models that have been around for a long time,
mm-hmm.
especially in the truck range. You know, you can
yeah,
find true. Trucks that go way back if you wanted to for an antique type like deal.
F-150s for sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. Actually, that's what I'd like is a simple old
sure.
truck that is really simple to work on. Not because I want to work on it, but because my mechanic would like working on it.
There you go. Yeah.
And it would be easy and simple and cheap to fix.
Yep.
You know?
That's the thought, at least.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the thought.
Yeah, it's simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? What would be important about being simple?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all the computers and stuff in cars provides some cool stuff. But I got that with Alfred. So
I gotcha.
For just getting stuff from here to there, you know, as far as like what you think of as a truck, I just want the capabilities that I want, which is the ability to move stuff from here to there. And, you know, ideally it looks decent, but sure. Even that, actually, you know what I'm really wanting?
No, tell me. I'm curious.
There are these, I don't know what they're called, but they're like Japanese made.
Yeah.
Basically like van truck things. They're yeah. like tiny.
Sure. If you get what, three wheeled one with the like the.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. They yeah, got yeah. the flat, not the flat. It's a bed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like a little cab up
yeah,
front.
Very little. That you,
yeah. Yeah. With the stub nose, right? Like yeah. it's just one. So almost you'd have looks a like four-wheeled front vehicle. Van. Yeah. And it would yeah. be four wheeled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Just have one of those little guys. And,
be a neat little look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think I'd probably sell, I'd have to get a trailer or something.
Oh, you
for
get
any, for like sheetrock or something. Like, I don't think you're fitting that in the
van. Anything bigger than 6 feet long, you'd have to haul my trailer for, but I want a van.
But it would yeah. tow a trailer.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, I didn't realize you wanted one of those. That's cool. So.
Here's the number one reason I want that. Because they're cheap. They're really cheap.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you know. Less than $10,000. When you think of pickups, you know, they're okay. not cheap, right?
I gotcha. Yeah.
So the appeal is that it's cheap and it's kind of this quirky, fun.
Yeah, thing. You like quirky.
Yeah.
I yeah.
Do. Yeah. Kind of like my shoes.
There you go.
I think every shoe would fit in that.
Just so by. as far as Alfred goes, you like his sophistication.
That's right.
But where your truck is concerned, yeah. you want things simple.
Not worried about sophistication
not
at all.
Not worried yeah. about it.
Yeah.
How does that factor into other decisions you think you make? Do you desire for your decisions to be more complicated or more simple?
Well, that's a silly question, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think everyone would desire their decisions to be simple, but it's you don't really have the choice always, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the Alfred choice or choosing was, you know, like deliberately trying to make a simpler choice, you know, by narrowing the vehicle down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So yeah. And then, so coming back to decisions.
Yeah.
We've kind of gone around the bush on this one, but when it comes to those more complicated things, how do you typically go about making what becomes the right decision as far as you're concerned?
Well, if it's a difficult and, yeah, if it's a difficult decision, there's certainly many parts to that process. I would say the first one would be prayer and, you know, consideration that way. And like just talking to God about it and challenging my, I guess, my feelings about it. Make sure it's a sound decision, not just an emotional one. So that's part of it is trying to filter that out. The ways to filter that out is definitely prayer, but also conversations with people that I trust, you know, getting counsel, guidance, making sure that the decision that I'm looking to make and the reasons for it are sound. Or if it, yeah, just like trying to get some balance with that. Obviously, Megan and I will talk through, you know, pretty much any decision that's difficult. And that's good. And that's getting on the same page is important there. So that's part of the decision-making process. Also, like, I try to be a long-term thinker, right? So second-order consequences or whatever. I think we've referred to that before. But like,
go ahead and review.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, this decision today will bring this, but what might that then bring, right? And trying to think about long-term consequences and, you know, how will this impact our life later or our kids' lives or that kind of thing and try and be cognizant as much as is possible without being going nuts on it because you could go through all billion scenarios that could happen or whatever, but like just kind of reasonable thoughts on, okay, what could that then happen, you know? And
trying to predict the what ifs.
Yeah. So like the buying a vehicle is a good example is, well, we'll have a car payment, and we haven't had a car payment in probably 10 years. And so how's that going to impact our life, our family's life, our, you know, financial situation? How will that impact our kids' lives? You know, like, mm-hmm. we'll be able to take vacation and stuff like that. Like, we have to really think about those second order consequences, or we want to, you know, mm-hmm. Or, you know, rainy day situations, or, you know, emergency situations. Will we have the emergency funds that are needed? You know, how will that impact that? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, that's kind of the second order stuff.
Yeah.
Am I missing something more?
Well, I don't know. I'm asking you about your decision-making process. I'm curious.
Often it's very difficult for me to know the final thing until I do get some, advice or feedback from mm-hmm. others. I rely on that. Excuse me.
What do you do if you feel very strongly about a decision and it's contrary to what other people are telling you? What do you do at that point?
I don't think that happens that often. Gotcha. Or I can't remember it happening to the degree where people I trusted didn't agree with me. I think actually maybe one of the best examples of that, and even it's not a perfect example, but when I made the decision to stop leading Celebrate Recovery, that was a really hard one for me. I didn't want to. And definitely the advice I would get lean more towards, have you tried this other thing to help your situation? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Versus, that seemed like a right decision, more like... It didn't seem right to others, it seemed like. And
sure,
I had gotten to the point where I realized, well, it definitely has to be right. You know?
Yeah.
It had to get to that point. This is the decision that I am making. Have to. Yeah. Almost like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think there is something to be said for that, that, you know, sometimes seeking counsel, you know, I'd say most times seeking counsel is a wonderful thing to do. And yet mm-hmm. there are those things that may seem contrary to what other people see mm-hmm. about a circumstance, because they're not in that moment, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm not saying, you know, you should always go against, you know, peer supported or, you know, group advice type thing. Mm-hmm. But yet I think there are those times when we may get to that point where we say, mm-hmm. okay, thank you, but I think this is the way that I need to go. And I think at mm-hmm. times I like where you are at. I think kind of starting off with God sometimes mm-hmm. is, I think of Job. Mm. You follow me? He had his buddies around that kind of gave him counsel, and yet they weren't necessarily full on. And yeah, ultimately, I think it was the conversation with God that made the difference mm-hmm. when you're able to say, and I think, and I like what you shared, because I think, and you know, I can respect the fact that we'll talk about this, you know, with other people or our spouses, that kind of thing. But I think being single, or, you know, not having a spouse, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. I still have to make decisions.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to be able to talk with God about it from my perspective, because it's like at that point I am kind of challenging my perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, is this just something I want to do? Is this, you know, long-term benefit, or is this a momentary thing? And I think when we're able to, you know, be transparent and talk with God about things, it's like we're not hiding anything at that point, and it's all out on the table, and mm-hmm. I'm able to make a decision that is honoring, if you will.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect of starting, and I think, you know, even having that, even starting that process, even as a concern starts out on the horizon type thing, mm-hmm. I'm seeing this might be a thing, mm-hmm. you know, like job opportunities. I don't think, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that necessarily job opportunities always come out of the blue, not that they can't, but yet, you know, we start seeing this cloud on the horizon starting to form, that mm-hmm. I'm kind of heading in that direction. And I think, always typically being able to just talk with God about those opportunities when I see them, and mm-hmm. kind of open and close that door mm-hmm. as necessary. I think that's beneficial, the decision. Have you ever, go ahead. Were you going to say something else?
Yeah, I got a thought about, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to hear your question.
Well, my question would be, have you ever gotten to a point where you would almost say, there was so much information, maybe more like with the car, you kind of had that that paralysis of analysis mm-hmm. to where it's like, mm-hmm. it was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do then?
Hmm. Yeah. That. Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of answers to that. But uh-huh. I would say one thing that came to mind is patience and slowing down.
Mm.
You know, like.
Sure.
If it's just as muddy or muddier today than it was yesterday, despite all my efforts, maybe taking some time, sleeping on it a little more, mm-hmm. seeing if something, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Patience, or seeing if the situation changes. Yeah, I think that
delay could be any decision as long as you can type thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of my perspective on it.
Yeah. Or like, cause like thinking about buying a house, for instance, if mm-hmm. it's just like, there's too many options and none of them feel super great, but there are a lot, and mm-hmm. maybe we just compromise here. Maybe we you start to feel like you're forcing it, you know, or you might be. And if you're operating out of kind of fear, right?
Sure. Like,
this one might be gone, and that one, you know, I think sometimes that can be a dangerous place to make a decision from. And so just saying, you know what, I'm going to step back, and I'm going to let whatever dominoes fall that might fall, mm-hmm. and then come back to the table and with a little more, you know, removing some of that fear, like letting sure. some of that dissolve, and then come back with a clear head. Mm. I feel like that can be a good thing as
no
well.
No doubt. And I think we can see that, you know, that marketing dynamic in mm-hmm. in a lot of cases, whether it's houses yeah. or cars. It's like, you know, well, this may not be here. It's only going to be here so long.
Well, because it's tapping into our natural things, right? Like our natural tendencies
sure.
towards that fear and that panic and that, like, they're just tapping into a nerve that already exists inside us, which is, you know, like that fear. Because even without those marketing tactics, mm-hmm. we're still thinking someone could buy it tomorrow or mm-hmm. that sale could end tomorrow. So if they say the sale might end tomorrow, mm-hmm. then we're like doubly, definitely, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that perspective, because it is kind of a fear based, even if the sale ends tomorrow, you know, type stuff. It's like, okay, well, there will likely be another sale.
Yeah.
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 And rarely is something, you know, not going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know,
and even if it's never going to happen again, is that amount you save today because of the sale worth all the trade-offs, you
sure.
know, like maybe you can't afford it today, but you're forcing it or whatever. And so that means you're going to have to stretch for the next year to make, you know, it's like, I think big decisions, having the proper amount of time, if you have the option, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, your job's going away. You have to take this one or that one. We need to know next week.
Sure.
Right. Like, it's like, you don't really. But if you have the option and it's a decision that of your making, then I would definitely encourage time, you know, providing an adequate amount of time, whatever that number is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But for breathing room to not rush the decision, because, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than your shoes, I'm kind of going through your list
mm-hmm.
of things that you know, God, talking with other people, mm-hmm. Megan. So other than your shoes, and when you disagree with Megan's choice or you decide not to go with her choice.
That's right.
How often would you say you have to make a decision that's contrary to what Megan may desire?
Hmm.
Do you find yourself there at times?
Not that often, because I kind of will put Megan in God's responsibility, right?
So if
she's meant to agree with me and she doesn't today, then I'll just start praying, like, you know, if this is supposed to be, I feel like it's supposed to be, you know, let her come around kind of thing.
So it's God's responsibility to change Megan's mind.
I guess that doesn't mean I don't try. I mean, you know, Megan is, we have a good relationship. So if I really want something, she'll come around, or vice versa.
Okay.
Usually. But I can think of times many years ago.
Most days?
Well, depending on what it is. But a long time ago, I was considering a job opportunity in Charlotte. To work for a pretty big church, doing web stuff. And, you know, we prayed over that. And, you know, it was a big decision. But she just wasn't for it for several reasons, which were good reasons, you know. And I really wanted it. And so I definitely prayed about that and prayed that, he would change her mind if that was right. But also that I didn't want to force it, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I ended up not taking the job. And I look back on that, you know, all the time thinking, I'm so glad we didn't make that change. You know, that would have been a bummer for many reasons. A lot of the ones she was talking about right in the moment and other ones that we realize over time, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, just grateful for the roots we've established here over, you know, we've been here almost 20 years now, this same town, which is pretty cool. But yeah.
So typically you either wait until you come to agreement, whether
we're not going to shove through either of us and make a decision that the other one's opposed to. Like, we're going to come to, you know, an agreement one way or the other.
How do the two of you typically come at decision making? In other words, are there areas where I would say it can be reactive? Like, are there certain topics that become difficult?
Sure. Yeah. Well, before we get there, I was going to say the reason why we do that is somewhat through learned experience and somewhat through seeing others' experiences. This idea that we're going to make a decision because that's what he wants. Well, if something goes wrong in that side of the decision, now it's all on him, you know, like, and no one wants that, you know. So we want to be on the same page to where neither of us want that. Like, she doesn't want the resentment that goes along with that.
When you say him, are you talking about God, or are you talking about
With your spouse specifically?
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
You know, making a decision despite what your spouse wants is basically you're brewing trouble, right? Because on the off chance it all goes great, everything's great, you're going to be like overly confident about your decision making now and not trust her.
Okay.
So that's not great. You know, now it's like, well, she doesn't know how to make decisions. I do, clearly. And you might not consider her opinion next time. Well, there's no guarantees here. I'm just saying, I think it's invaluable to wait to get to the same page for many reasons. This is one of them. Or if it does go wrong, well, now she's dealing with resentment towards your decision and you're dealing with resentment towards her resentment. You know, like, you have that to deal with. It's much better to entered the decision knowing that those are possibles and saying, I don't want that. I don't want you to say, yes, we're going to do it. And then if it goes wrong, for it to be something that is, you know, makes you upset at me. Like, I want this decision to be between the both of us so that if something goes wrong, we're in it together.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No.
Your other question before that was what?
It was about basically reactive topics. Are there topics that just, you know, between the two of you, certain areas are more difficult to discuss.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I love change. I love change. And she does not. She loves sameness and stability. So that's a good, you know, anytime I'm like, I'm thinking about doing a new thing, it's always triggering for her in a sense.
Sure.
And she's, you know, I would say triggering is a strong word, but no, it's certainly not a comforting aspect to her. It's, it makes the hair on the back of her neck stand up a little bit, like, oh no, what are we doing? And is this going to be a good thing? You know, just like all the anxiety.
Yeah. There's going to be, I was thinking that there's going to be a certain level of anxiety that comes up whenever you might say, hey, I want to talk with you about something I was thinking about.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, not in a negative sense, but it's like, oh, what does Justin want to do now?
Yeah. And like, we're very in sync on a lot of things. We're also very not in sync on a lot of things. So like, even if I were to say that, the the chances that my idea is exactly what she wants is pretty slim. Like, we want pretty different things. Like, sure. we have different personalities, different styles, different, you know. Yeah, so, yeah.
But she likes Alfred?
She likes Alfred, yeah.
Good. That was that was a combined decision.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's not super picky about vehicles. She's not, she's good with anything. So the fact that it's as nice as it is just makes her feel like a classy lady, you know?
Cool.
So she's not complaining. Yeah. I don't think she, when it comes to vehicles, that she would have a strong opinion, except that it's big enough to hold the kids and we can do our trips and she can get around town easily, you know, just like the practical things.
Sure.
But
what might be an area where Megan would have a strong opinion and you might not?
In terms of inconsequential things, like style of the house.
Oh, wow.
Right? Because I, you know, unlike most men, I have a very strong opinion as well about style and stuff like that.
Sure. Anybody with that many shoes
has a style opinion. Exactly, yes. I was also a graphic designer, so like, you know, style is kind of part of what I care about.
Sure.
And you can like look at my office, our studio here, and you can see it's got a unique style.
Sure.
And it does not look like our house.
Ah, right?
Like if you think about what our house looks like. So there's that.
So you're allowed to style out here as you see fit.
Yes. Well, allowed. I mean, I claimed it. This is my office. She's happy to let me have this for sure. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get a little resentful that I don't get more influence in the house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. That's fair enough. Yeah.
But I do like what our house looks like, just to be clear. It's not a bad
thing. You don't disagree completely with Megan's style.
No, actually, I like pretty much 100% of her style. It's not just not the most what I would want in many cases, if that makes sense. I'd prefer something else, but I like what it is, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah. And if I don't like it, I'll tell her and we'll work through it.
If you feel that strongly.
We've had a few of those as well.
Yeah. Wow. Nicely done.
Yeah. I think probably every marriage, you have one or two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think about When Harry Met Sally. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh,
sorry.
Well, there's this couple that they move in together and he's got this like wagon wheel coffee table.
Okay.
And it's a sticking point. Like he loves it. She hates it. She says it's got to go. He says this is a staple. You know, it's a classic
scene. I bet. I could picture that.
It's pretty ugly though, that table. Yeah. I'm on her side.
But a wagon wheel. Come on now.
It's a wagon wheel. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool.
It's unique.
I guess. Yeah.
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 No doubt.
It might fit in here, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you could replace your trunk if you felt that strongly about it. Yeah. So when you're able to, when you're having to make a decision and you see that anxiety kind of come up in Megan, what do you do at that point?
Make the decision real quick. I mean, through the years, you know, I've learned some better techniques. One is slow down, calm her down, say, all right, hey, we're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. Let's talk it through. Let's just put things on paper. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's part of it.
When you think about do you typically make a list of pros and cons type thing?
That was a metaphor. Usually we talk through it, but actually that would be probably better, but
I'm just curious.
I can't recall. We did that recently, yes.
Sure.
But
where you actually made a list kind of and wrote things out. You put it on a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On paper.
Quote unquote. Yeah. I was thinking literal paper, of course, but I said that I translated. Oh, Justin, he wouldn't use paper. Come on now.
His tablet.
Tablet, yes.
Actually, we should do that more. I would say we don't do that as often as I think would actually be beneficial, because I think that's a good tool.
Sure.
Pros and cons list.
Yeah.
Of both versions of the decision. The trade-offs.
What other tools would you say that you have that have been helpful in making decisions outside of, you know, kind of?
I like how you're interviewing me like I'm some decision expert. Well, let me tell you, Mark. Just so everyone's clear, I don't don't think I'm an expert in decision making. I'm not saying you're an expert, but this is how I see it.
Yeah, we're offering tools. Yeah. Because everybody has to make decisions.
That's right. That's right. Aren't you answering any of these questions?
Well, because you're not asking me any questions.
All right.
That was speechless. Oh, yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. No.
Well, that's because you keep asking the next question. I do because you're mining.
You're offering these little nuggets that are good, and I just like to keep mining.
All right. So you answer some of your questions.
What question was it?
I don't remember. There's so many questions. One was
The last one I asked you was, what tools do you think you have that you would recommend to other people who are trying to make decisions outside?
And then you're going to answer it after I answer it.
Okay. Yeah.
You got me. we already talked about a bunch of them, but prayer is a key conversation with your significant other. If it's a decision that's going to connect with their life, then you need to be on the same page, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I believe that means working to get there or realizing it's not possible, and therefore there's your decision. For me, that's how I feel about it. And I know other couples feel differently, and
sure,
I've heard stories where God told him to do a thing or her to do a thing and not the other one, and they did it and it was right and all worked out, and they were, I've heard of that.
Sure.
I just don't feel like that's how I feel about it, and I believe God can use both. So that's my tool. Patience, second order thinking, like trying to, pros and cons list, which really should have a kind of the second order thinking built into it. Like pros and cons today, pros and cons, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, if it's applicable. Counsel from others, checking your biases against some objectivity, someone who's not invested in the decision. Getting advice about a decision that if affects the person you're asking is potentially not as helpful, right? I would argue it's more helpful than not asking anybody.
Sure.
What am I missing?
I'm not saying you're missing anything. I think I will add to it.
Googling.
I'm not a big Google. Does that surprise you?
I just want to throw that in there to kind of stick it to you.
I think at times that adds to the confusion. Paralysis. More so. Yes, the paralysis, because you can find conflict.
That's true.
But I think
we should talk about the thing that triggered the Googling. Oh no, we were talking about dirt. But we were talking about my broken
sprayer,
airless paint sprayer.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out if the board, the logic board inside is fried, or the pump or the motor is broken.
Basically, so three key ingredients there.
Yeah. 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 Kind of. So Googling, like, what's a used, sprayer cost? What do these motors cost? What do the, boards cost?
And I think that's a research dynamic. I mean, granted, you can use that with a car or.
Yeah, I think research is important.
Yeah. Like, no, I think it's, and I think for me, that's where people typically come into play. Granted, you can be subject to bias at that point, but it's like.
I never leave my house, so.
No, I think for me, what I think about F3 or church or, those kind of things where there are people in that realm that have expertise.
Yeah.
And I think,
I think if I had the reach, that kind of reach, because I feel like you have a tendency to know who to ask or have, or at F3 and at, like, I don't know. I feel like you have those opportunities. You're going in and out of stores. You have relationships with different expertises,
everybody. When you said you have that reach.
You specifically, I'm thinking of you versus me, where I sit at my desk all day.
I got you.
It's not like I'm going into stores every day and I'm starting building relationships there and I know what their expertise is or, F3, like you said, I don't know. I'm thinking through it because I feel like if I had those connections, I'd rather ask the paint store guy his thoughts on the sprayer. Sure. In fact, I thought that many times last night when I was trying to look into it.
Yeah.
Like, man, it'd be so much easier just to ask the paint store guy if I had that relationship. But since I don't have that relationship, I don't actually know how much he knows about it. Because I might know more than he does. Like, whoever the paint store guy is today. Sure. Like, I used to have relationships with paint store guys. Now I don't.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So, yeah. I like that you're used to the term reach. Because I think, you know, we all have a certain level of reach. It's just the area we tend to reach toward, you know, and you might, based on where you're at, your reach might be more online, whereas mine might be a more interpersonal as far as, and I'm not saying that one is necessarily better than the other, even from that dynamic, but being able to recognize, yeah, there are people around me who deal with, you know, if I'm looking to purchase land or something, you know, like that, you know, or even aspects where I think about it so often with like Lizzie, as she goes on to PA school, I'm thinking, you know, I'm having conversations, or I notice my ears kind of perk up when I, you know, look at, when I hear about somebody that's applying for a program, or, you know, they're pursuing, you know, it's like my ears will perk up and I'll just kind of listen a little more intently when I'm, you know, hearing things along that line, as, you know, I want to be part of, you know, helping Lizzie make healthy, you know, decisions there, you know, in that process. So I think, you know, listening to people who have done that thing before is also very beneficial, you know, to where it doesn't, I mean, and even especially with kids, you know, adolescent kids, talking with somebody who may have some young adult kids might be helpful in
decent young adult.
Yes, very much so. But
I would argue you might learn a lot from those who don't.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. Yep. But being able to think about it in that aspect of, okay, what other people, or who do I know that have had to make this a dissimilar decision, or a decision like this, or had an experience like this? Who do I know that might have, you know, some expertise there? I think that's that's beneficial too, when we're trying to make decisions. And because I think, like you're saying, I think of it so much more so for my kids, our kids, even, you know, all the information is out there, you know, what, from a research dynamic, but just having more information doesn't always make the decision easier.
Yeah, I agree. I would also argue that someone's lived experience is valuable, but it sometimes may not be as reliable as you might think. In other words, the circumstances that cause that person to go through that decision and kind of go the path they did. Unless you're, like, the closer your life is to theirs, the more reliable that will be. But, you know, I think there's something to be said for everyone's experience is going to be unique. So just because they had a good experience going to the school and doesn't mean you can't do your due diligence to see if it would be a good fit for you.
Yeah.
And I think of the Alfred again.
Sure.
The people who, you know, our friends who own this vehicle, like, they have a family of our size. Mm-hmm. And again, his brother has one. They both have decent sized families. They both are car people. Like, they, you know, one of them, the brother, is a good friend of ours. He's notorious for getting a new vehicle like every year or something. Okay. Like, that's kind of his thing. And he loves it. So I'm like, okay, so this helps in the sense of, you know, they have some shared lived experience and preferences and stuff. So that kind of helped narrow that down. So, you know, that's a good example of getting other someone's real experience. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Anything else that comes to mind?
What are your tools?
Well, that would be one that I would say is a tool.
Yeah. I can hear you doing that and see you doing that. Like, I definitely.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think too, at times, and it's probably a different decision, but sometimes I'll even find myself, I think it was more so, you know, years ago, I would find myself talking with my father, my earthly father, in that process, because I would recognize that I wanted to be aware of the bents that I might have in certain areas. And, you know, I would be able to say, okay, and I would sometimes hear my own biases.
Yeah.
You know,
Exaggerated
in that conversation.
Or
yeah. It would
magnify. Doubled.
Yeah. I would just be able to hear that.
Yeah.
And then I would, and then it's not in a judgmental sense, but being able to recognize that, okay, I might be subject to that.
Yeah.
That dynamic, because I know I already am, mm-hmm. you know, in so many other areas. And I think, you know, for me too, and I think you said it in a generalized way, for me, I see Chris as the other half of God's brain for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in that process, I don't necessarily make a decision unless we have unity, mm-hmm. you know, going forward. Cause mm-hmm. I think like you're saying, then no one's at fault, or we're both at fault to mm-hmm. a certain degree. Yeah. Not that we're looking for a scapegoat, but
no need to provide.
Nobody's at fault
yeah.
about this. It's just going to either, this is our decision based on our current circumstances and, you know, mm-hmm. and we're going forward with that, you know, mm-hmm. or at least, we're waiting until that unity is there in such a way that says, okay, yeah, this one decision isn't gonna divide us. And I think that's just beneficial long term. I don't think I've always done that well, you know, but mm-hmm. as I talk with couples, I think it is those moments where, you know, I just push this decision through. And I didn't necessarily consider you at all. I don't, you know, that's rarely mm-hmm. beneficial.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, you know, being able to, and I think the way I view, you know, not that I would always convey it well, but being able to see, Chris as a gift in that dynamic.
Yeah.
Is instead beneficial.
Of a blocker.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's not an obstacle to me having what I want, but she actually has a viewpoint, and you know, that's beneficial,
mm-hmm.
you know, to where if it, even like with Megan, that, that anxiety, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. is beneficial.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of you
that's natural friction that's sometimes important.
And I'd say it's most always important in a sense of creating unity. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, where's that coming from? Where's that anxiety coming mm-hmm. from? And then we're able to talk about it mm-hmm. in a sense that adds to the, mm-hmm. you know, the picture.
The weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And being able to mm-hmm. recognize that that's important.
And that was hard earned, right?
Like, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there was a period, as probably all marriages, where it was like that person represents an obstacle to my getting what I want.
Yeah, because I think it's an obstacle at times to selfishness.
Yes.
I think that that's what the obstacle is. Yeah. I want my way.
Yeah.
And it's like you're the person that's keeping me from getting that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's great. And that's probably another topic. But this idea that what I want is going to bring me the most happiness.
Mm.
Well, marriage teaches us otherwise. You're typically can have more self happiness and satisfaction in a relationship where you give. Right.
Oh, sure.
And that's the dichotomy. But yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But it's a good
write
one.
That one down. Yeah. Dichotomy.
Yeah. Dichotomy. No. And they're all dichotomies.
But yeah, and I think
continuums.
About it. There you go. And I think about that, even though, you know, for, you know, single people as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that ability to recognize that God offers that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the same time, I think that's a big thing for Chris and I, is that ability to come together with God in creating that unity, to where mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we can say, okay, if it's my viewpoint that my mm-hmm. perspective that needs to change, talk with me, tell me. And if it's, you know, Chris's, talk with her, or, mm-hmm. you know, and yet God is available to mm-hmm. anyone mm-hmm. in that process.
Yeah.
And I think that's where starting with him is typically more important, because I'll recognize there are probably some decisions that never got to Chris from my perspective, just because God squashed them at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah. And to be clear, being single is its own set of, you know, struggles to work through decisions.
Yeah,
and
that's where I'm
now. Yeah. So I'm adding to what you're saying, not to say it's a less than, it's just different. And You don't have that particular situation where if you push through a decision, now you have someone who could resent you for it. I mean, it's all on you. I mean, you might resent yourself. And so that's something to think about, you know, but, so it's trade-offs, right? Like, but yeah, I think it's still, like you said, it's still good to certainly to bring God into decisions, but also to bring others in if it's something you feel like you might be biased in and, or don't have the patience to give it, to really listen to God, you know?
Sure. So let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. Have you ever just flipped a coin to make a decision?
I can't recall doing it.
Really? Okay.
How about you?
Sure.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, it's typically something simple like rock, paper, scissors, where, you know, it's just you're deciding a trivial type thing.
Do you have an example?
Who gets to go first?
In what?
Like picking a team.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Then yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to see.
Have you ever done it in a life decision?
Not in a life decision, no.
Yeah.
Not like anything that really mattered, but
yeah. It'd be kind of fun to try.
Who gets to go first or who gets something in a tie?
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense.
Where it's like a cookie, you
know? Right.
Okay.
In the Bible, they talk about casting lots.
They did.
And it was like, let choosing the Spirit disciples. Choose through this luck, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's certainly a viable thing if you kind of really stuck.
Yeah.
Let God choose through the coin in the air, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we could do that more, maybe.
You think?
A little more faith.
A little more faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little less research.
What do you think? Yeah. A little less Googling.
Yeah.
A little more coin tossing.
I hear you. A little more, what do they call those? Casting lots. That's what it was.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drawing straws.
That's right. Casting lots. Yeah.
Well, there's proverbs about that too.
Well.
That casting lots keeps strong opponents apart. Something to that effect.
Oh, I don't recall that.
Yeah. And so in other words, you're avoiding conflict. If basically drawing those straws, you know, it avoids the conflict. We can come together and say, okay, we can't agree. So,
And it
is what it is. And,
you know,
we can be mature about this and move on.
That's good.
And recognize, hey, I got the short straw.
Yeah.
And next time I might not.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, thanks for sharing, Justin.
You know,
decisions.
You made me share how I see it. So I did.
This is how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.